Okay, so now, if Jesus is God and the Father is God, and we read in the Bible about God, how do we know who it is? You know, how do we know? So we need to clarify some of these things. Here's an interesting verse in Psalm 10:1. It says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit you at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." And in Matthew 22:44, Christ said, you know, he asked the Pharisees, who's the Christ? Who is he? Or whose son is he? And they said, he's the son of David. He didn't say he was the Christ. He just, you know, he just... Like one time he said, who do men say that the Son of Man is? You know? So the Christ, Jesus Christ, he's just saying the Christ. Now he's the Christ, but he's not telling them that he's the Christ. He's just saying, but the Christ, whoever, whenever he comes, what? The Christ. Whose son is he? And they all say, well, he's the son of David. He said, well then how did David say, the Lord said unto my Lord, set you at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. If he then, if the Messiah, the Christ, is to be the son of David, how does David call him Lord? Think about that scripture for a while. That'll get your head spinning. What in the world? What does it mean? What is he saying? Can anybody explain that? The Christ. Whose son is he? They say, he's the son of David. Got that from some of the prophecies. He's the son of David. All right. He said, David was inspired to write, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit you at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. If the Christ is the son of David, how is it that David calls him Lord? And that's the point where they said, from that day forward, they never, ever ask him another question. But what is the answer? And now we have this. In the Greek, it's kurios, theos. I mean, no, I'm sorry. It's kurios, kurios. The Lord, kurios, said to my Lord, kurios. We can't learn who the Lord and the Lord is. It's the same Greek word. But in the Old Testament, in Psalm 110:1, the Lord is Jehovah, or Yahweh, if you want to. Yahweh is more correct, but Jehovah is so much easier to say. So, in the Old Testament, it's the Lord is Jehovah. Said unto my Lord is Adon. But Christ said, it's the Kurios said to my Kurios, but it's different. It's Jehovah said to Adon. I've got a rather lengthy explanation of all this, and I don't want to take all the time to go through it because I got more notes than I'm going to go through. So, from this we learn that there are any number of things stated in the Old Testament that when you bring them to the New Testament, they apply to different people. If you look at all the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, I mean, some of them, they're not talking about Jesus Christ, they're talking about some person in the Old Testament. Applied to Christ, though, in fulfillment. So, and David is writing the Psalm. David is saying, the Lord said to my Lord. We know who the Lord is. We can look at the Greek word. It's Jehovah. And we know the second Lord, my Lord, is Adon. Adon means like my Lord, my master, my whatever, my owner. But who is, so we got Jehovah, who is the Adon? See, the church teaches this is God the Father saying of Jesus Christ. No, it can't be God the Father, because it's Jehovah. Jehovah is Jesus. And he's talking down to somebody. See? So this is a higher authority talking down to somebody who is Adon, which is used a lot for just physical, you know, human masters. This is obviously David. Jehovah is saying of David. See? We say, well, yeah, but David's talking. And you know, how does he say? Well, they speak in the third person all the time. You'll find the titles of some of the Psalms. You know, one says a Psalm of Solomon. And Solomon is speaking. And he talks about the son of David. That's him. Okay? He says, the son of David. That's me. You know, well, why are you calling yourself the son of David? Well, he's just using the third person. They do it all the time. So, Jehovah said to my Adon, in the New Testament becomes, you know, God said to my son, Jesus. Because now we have who fulfills this? I mean, David did have, you know, put his foot on a lot of his enemies, but not all. When he died, he still had enemies. That's why he told his son to kill him. Okay? And make it bloody. Yeah. So he didn't bring all his... It's Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who's going to have all enemies put under his foot. Or his feet. And you read that in the first chapter of Hebrews. And you read it again in the 15th chapter of Corinthians. How long does Christ rule? Until he what? Puts all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death. Okay? So, don't be fooled by these words. I mean, people might try to trip you up and say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, you know. But you'll have all the notes, but you're going to have to study them a little bit. Okay? You're going to have to study them a little bit. But, whereas Jehovah said to my Adon in the New Testament, is God says to my son. That's how it's fulfilled. Okay, we can learn how this works out in fulfillment. In Matthew 1:1, it plainly says that Jesus Christ is the Son of David. Okay, so we see that. And I'm going to find this one scripture if I can quickly. Well, I wanted the scripture. It's in here someplace. My eyes just won't fall on it. Where God says he will give unto Jesus the throne of his father's father David. So there is a scriptural reference that the throne of David really belongs to Jesus Christ. Okay? So he is both the Lord and the Son. Okay. Of course the Pharisees didn't know that and couldn't figure it out, and Christ tripped them up on it. He didn't tell them the answer. Here's an interesting thing. In Genesis 1:1 it says, in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And that can be plural because it says, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image. It's a plural pronoun, right? But it's interesting, when you come down to chapter 2, it says, now these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that Jehovah Elohim made the heavens and the earth. Did I just slip that in there? Genesis 1:1, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. Chapter 2, Jehovah Elohim. Okay. All right. What?
Luke 1:32, I think, was the book you were looking at before.
Right, and I will give the throne. Yes. Luke 1:32. That rings true. I believe you got that one. Luke 1:32. I don't know why it's in my notes here someplace. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. There it is. Okay. Thank you, Craig. So we have Elohim created. Now it's Jehovah Elohim. I know I'm going to get it really out of sequence here, but I have to go with the flow as God inspires me, so I'll just talk about it here. I mean, we're being introduced here to what has really happened, but most people just don't see it. They just don't get it. So we have God created. We always think of God as being the Father, right? Always God and Jesus Christ, okay? But here, in the Old Testament, when God spoke to Moses, it wasn't God the Father, because he spoke to him and no man has ever heard the Father. And we already showed you about 18 verses that prove Christ existed before his human existence. He was at the beginning. He is the beginning. He is the Alpha, you see. He is the beginning of the creation of God. He is the first fruit. So when it says God, Elohim, who is it talking about? It's the we and the us. Elohim is the we and the us. So it's both. And what did we learn in 1 Corinthians 8:6? All is out of ex, out of God through Jesus Christ. Keep it all together. Just keep, go over it and cross-reference your Bible or make a list of a couple scriptures next to one that you're real familiar with. I want to remember those there. And then you'll start to remember some of this stuff. Remember what we learned in the first chapter of Hebrews. You see, as we go over this more and more, it'll start to click and start to click with you. God, who at sundry times in diverse places spoken to our fathers. What? There's another one. I'm out of sequence. God spoke unto our fathers. God spoke unto our fathers. Who is this God here? This is Theos. This is God the Father. This is not Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, Theos is God the Father. Except when it says our God and Savior, our Theos and Savior, then it's talking about Jesus Christ. But this God here is God the Father. He spoke unto our fathers. Who spoke unto our fathers? Jesus Christ. Is this a contradiction? No. The speaking came out of God through the Father because he's the spokesman. See how easy it is?
Through the Son.
Through the Son, the spokesman.
Isn't it the same reference when Jesus spoke to his apostles and when they were asking about the Father? He said, when you see me, you see the Father.
Same thing.
When you hear me, I do what the Father.
That's in here someplace. I'll hold off until we get there. But exactly right. No, it's exactly right. Same thing. And when you get this principle down, and you got to get it out of your head that God is the name of Jesus' Father. God is not the name of Jesus' Father. God is a title that's used by the pagans. Balaam was a theos. Zeus was a theos. All these pagan gods were theoses and Elohims and Els. And Adonis too. You have when it talks about God as Lord, it's Adonai, not Adon. But it always, you see the Lord God, and that shouldn't be really Lord, because it's just confusing. Because sometimes you'll have the Lord God, okay? Or no, they say my God is Lord, or someplace it says it in Psalms. It's Jehovah Adon, but they didn't want to say the Lord is Lord or something. I forget how it goes there, but so they changed it to God. You know, no, it should be Jehovah Adonai. See, but since they always translate Jehovah Lord, it would have come out Lord Lord, and they didn't think that sounded right. But there's no consistency, or not very good consistency sometimes in the King James, and that's where Concordance is very good, and Concordance is not translated. They call it Elohim. They leave it right there in the Hebrew, Elohim. But notice this. Who being the brightness of his glory, speaking of Jesus Christ, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had of himself sat down on the majesty of high. Oh, I'm sorry, we'll go back to verse 2. Has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. God appointed heir of all things, by whom also he, who? God made the worlds. By whom? Who's the by whom?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. But who did it? God. How? Through Christ. So who did it? They both did it. That's why it's Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim. God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ created the universe. It was out of God through His Son. Both. And they're both the one God. Okay? Well then, why does it introduce here in chapter 2 that the heaven and the earth was created by Jehovah Elohim? Okay? Because it's letting us know who the Son is. For those who have eyes to see and ears to hear and all of that. So Jesus Christ is being introduced to us here. Because why? Because He's going to start talking. To whom? To Adam. And then to Eve. You see? He's the spokesman. And for the next, I don't know, 50 verses or whatever, or I don't know how many more than that, it's always the Lord God or Jehovah Elohim. So let's do this. This is not scriptural, but I think it'll help you understand it and remember it. And let's do it this way. God is like a title, like family. I am in the Smith family. I'm the father of my Smith family. My son is no longer with us, but my son Blake, he's also a Smith. Right? Where do you belong? I belong to the Smith family. Ray Smith is my dad. And I'm a Smith, and he's a Smith. But I'm not my dad. My dad's older than me, and he's greater than me. Think about that one for a second. Where's my famous chart here? You got the Son and the Father. Now you notice the Son has a kind of a nice little trim beard, right? And the Father goes way down to his belt buckle beard. So he's definitely older, right? Excuse me. How could you have the concept of a father and son who eternally existed together? A father and a son, both eternal. I mean, that's like a contradiction of words, isn't it? Father is always older than his son. Father's always first. Okay. So, think of it this way. God is a title. And it has a meaning. But don't look it up because you'll go nuts. You try to look up the etymology of the word God on Google or whatever. You go here and here and pretty soon it's like, whoa. It's a difficult word. I mean, they really have trouble trying to, they're not quite, some trace it back to Sanskrit, you know. But it was the god of the Norsemen and the Got, G-O-T-T, of the Germanic tribes, you know, Got. But as far as they can determine etymologically, it means the placer, the one who places everything, the beginning of everything that moves. Or he's the placer, or the poser. Or the arbiter of all things. Okay? And it's a title. And like we said, even the pagans use God as a title, or Theos, or Elohim. They use all these different language words for their gods. It's a title. And that's why Paul said, there are many gods and many lords in the world. And they knew what he was talking about. He said, but for us, Us Christian, but there is only one God, and since Christ came to tell us who He is, we know who it is. It's the Father. Out of whom, ex, out of whom is all things. Jesus Christ is a thing. He's the Son of God, the very image of God. Well, if He is something, where did He come from? Out of God. Where did everything else come from? Through Christ. Jesus is Jehovah. Jehovah what? Jehovah Elohim. Who is His Father? His Father is the Father Elohim. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
And they're one God, because you can't have two different perfections. There's only one perfection. When you reach ultimate perfection, that's God. And there's only one such ultimate perfection. If you are part of that perfection, you are God. That's what God is. Perfect. Jesus Christ is perfect. The express, absolute, total assumption of His Father. That makes Him God. But it isn't something He acquired on His own. But I do believe He did a lot. And His Father gave Him those powers as He was able to handle them. And we are the given power when we prove that we can handle it. So, whenever you read about God in the Old Testament, it's virtually always, there could be a reference slightly different, but mostly not. In the New Testament, we have God, and it is speaking of the Father. When it says, you know, I mean, Paul introduces every book that he has written, you know, with that salutation. I thank God through Jesus Christ, you see. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, if we got a Trinity, boy, Paul really screwed up, because it ain't. Paul called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, right? Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ and from that sexy little brown Holy Spirit. You know? Not there. If the Holy Spirit is a person, personality of a triune Godhead or divinity, and Paul has 13 books and never once acknowledges the Holy Spirit, something's wrong with Paul. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, any book you open up. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Those two, you see. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no Holy Spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit is nothing or of no consequence. It's not a person. Jesus Christ and God the Father are the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is that Spirit. I will send you the Comforter. Christ will take, my Father will take of me and give to you. What is he going to take of Christ? His Spirit. Where did Christ get that Spirit? From the God, from the Father. But he's going to take up Christ because it's going to be the personality of Christ. See? Paul didn't say, I am crucified with God, nevertheless I live, but the Father lives in me. No, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but the life that I live, Christ. See, it's the personality of Christ, is the Spirit that lives in us. But that Spirit comes from God. So we can call it God's Holy Spirit, even though, again, it's channeled through Christ. Jehovah Elohim, God the Father Elohim, you know.
Isaiah 6:9, unto us a child is born, unto a son is given, the government shall rest upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Right
there, it's all spelled out.
And even some would say, well, wait a minute, the Everlasting Father, you know, Christ, Jehovah says he was a father to Israel. Okay, and he's the Aeonian God, so he is the Aeonian God to Israel. Okay, so are we understanding the God a little better now? Let's take this a little further. So we read about God Elohim, we learn about the Lord God Jehovah Elohim, and sometimes we hear about El. Now, we know that in the garden, Christ, through Jehovah, is doing the talking, because no man has ever heard God the Father. So, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, said unto the woman, you see, and the Lord God said, why did he say? Because he's the spokesman, he's the Word. He's the Word of who? Of Elohim. And he is Jehovah Elohim. And his father is Elohim. There is only one Elohim. So is the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. When we come to the New Testament, then we read about God. Jesus Christ said, they asked him which was the greatest commandment. And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind, and so on. Greek. You shall love the Kyrios, your Theos, with all your heart. Kyrios Theos. Who was he talking about?
The Father.
The Father. But he's quoting the Old Testament. That comes out of Deuteronomy. He says, where Jehovah himself says, you shall worship the Lord your God. Not Kyrios Theos, Jehovah Elohim. Well, who are we to worship with all our heart? Jehovah Elohim or Kyrios Theos of the New Testament, who we know is the Father. But Jehovah Elohim, where it's quoted from in the Old Testament, is Jesus Christ. Answer?
Both.
Who's it talking about? It's always talking about both. It's always talking about both. Even though we give Jesus the designation, Jehovah Elohim, it still includes the Father. Why? Because there is only one Elohim. He is the Jehovah one God, and there is the Father one God, and together they are the one God. You just have to believe the Scriptures. John 10:30. I and my Father are one. One what?
One God.
It's understood. We are one. One God. We, two, are one. Whenever two are of the same mind and spirit, they're considered one. Now, we only have one analogy of that in the Scriptures. And it's used of a husband and a wife. And isn't it interesting that he says when they're joined together? Because when you are joined together, it's like you stick a plug in the wall. The plug that you stick in is called the
male.
And the wall plug is called the female. Some of you didn't know that? So it's when a man and a woman, I'm going to do it this way. When a man and a woman join their bodies, they are literally inside of each other's bodies. They are one. See? Literally, they're one. Try to pull them apart. They're one. Okay? They're one because that is the most intimate relationship there is on the human plane. This is sexual intercourse with a man and a woman. You literally become one body because it signifies being one in spirit. But Christ said, he speaks of this concerning Christ and the church. I mean, Paul in Ephesians, right? So there's a great lesson. He said this is a great mystery. Ephesians, where's that book? It comes before Hebrews, right? So he says, for we are members, well, first he says, so ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ the church. See the connection? Now, for we are members of his bone, of his flesh, and of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and he shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Okay? So, what is it about Jesus and His Father that make them one? I mean, they don't have a sexual union. They're both masculine. How do they be one? All of those things you're saying is true, but there's one other all-encompassing factor. Who said? What did that little voice say in spirit? Okay. Yes. They are one spirit. Okay? So, I mean, you can get a superficial feeling of this when you have a group of men in the army, you know, let's say the Navy SEALs or somebody, who are so precisely trained to do one job together that six of them function as one. See? They are multiple individuals, but they function as one. We call it, what is the word for that?
Unity.
What?
Unity.
Yeah, but there's another word. It's Latin, probably. Esprit de corps. What? Spirit. Esprit de corps. The spirit of the corps. The group. Esprit de corps. That's what God and His Father, Jesus Christ and God His Father have. They have a lot of esprit de corps. They're one spirit. It's the same spirit. And it's the same spirit of perfection and wisdom and knowledge and love and power. Same spirit. How could you both have that and not be God? But there's only one Spirit. Wherever God gives His Spirit in this room, it's all the same Spirit. And those of us that have that Spirit have a certain esprit de corps with one another. You know, we don't do it as well. You realize that. And some of us are virtual strangers, you know. But if we know, if we can talk to each other for an hour or so and know that we have that bond, we can kind of, you would trust me and I would trust you anywhere. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God. I wouldn't trust a Christian, but, and I mean, I wouldn't trust most Christians. It's like I said in my Towers paper, you know, how many of you read my Towers paper? How many did not? Go home and read it. What? Yes, I did. What was I going to say there? What were we talking about? There was something I said in there that I wanted to just, you know, bring out. But it flew like a bird. Nope, won't come to me. Okay. All right, where are we at now? It's time for another break. Let's take a break.